When I was in college, I had to take an Old Testament course. And I dreaded that one. First of all, I'm a lousy speller. You ever seen those names? You know? But it really wasn't so bad. God's revelation coming in time sequence with real people, real lives, real action going on. Today's Old Testament reading has all of that built into it. You have the people of Israel. They're now out of Egypt. Moses has received the law. He's been up on top of Mount Sinai. And the people were down below. In that whole journey, crossing the water, time and time again, out until they got to the foot of that mountain, they had shown how many times they doubted God. Moses himself was at times afraid. He was startled way back when God called him into service at the burning bush, you know? Like, that's not an everyday scene. And then on the mountaintop, when God spoke to him, and there Moses had a personal encounter with God. In fact, today's lesson connects to that in the sense that it was almost like the people came to Moses and they say, you know, we really want to stay down here, but you can go up, because that's what they're talking about. They recognized how unworthy they were to be on holy ground. They also recognized that Moses was chosen by God, not by popular election, but God chooses his spokespersons, his prophets. And it would be God's terms and God's way in which he would reveal himself. And so Moses acknowledges that he's been chosen for that role. But then he gives, and we come to understand it because of the New Testament, he gives a prophecy. You see, there are times Moses proclaimed something that applied right now. The Ten Commandments, for example, applied right now. But then there are times that Moses and others spoke about what was yet to come. And those prophecies were more than just a proclamation of truth. They were a proclamation of truth about the future. They were foretelling. And so this is the context of the verse for this morning. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. When we first read this lesson, we might think, well, let's see, who follows Moses? You know, Joshua. And okay, that's what this is about. Well, it is true that there are prophets after Moses. There are many prophets. And then it is also true that before Christ is born, there's 400 years where there was no prophet. 400 years of, in a sense, God gave them the silent treatment. It's not that God disengaged totally, but he knew what the people are like. And so for 400 years, there was no prophet to speak a new word from God. And then Christ came. And it is actually Jesus himself in the Gospel of John that tells us, that connects him with Moses and the prophet that is to be raised up. And as much as the people were to listen to the prophets in the Old Testament, there is absolutely no doubt that we are to listen to Christ. And that's what Moses is telling them. There will come a time when there's a prophet. And it's not optional. It's not by vote. It's not by your choosing. It's not by power or influence. It's simply by an act of God. And to listen to him is life. And to not listen to him is death. And it really comes down to that. Now, the challenge in Moses' day is also the challenge of our day. That there were many people who pretended to be the spokesman for God. Their pretense in Moses' day and days to follow was sometimes they actually, by name, they pointed to another God. That became pretty obvious, all right? But it was amazing how many people followed that. Even with all that God had done at the bottom of the mountain, they made a golden calf, not to the one true God, but to another God, because they thought that might be a good thing to do. It would sort of cover their bets, if you will, about their safety and their future. And human beings have been doing that before them and ever since. In today's world, how many religions do we have? You know, just think about it. Not only denominational names, because some speak of the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but there are religions that have another God. And in our human thinking today, they're considered just as valid, just as important, and just as true. And today's lesson says, no, they aren't. And then within what we call Christianity, we have, just like in the days of Moses and following, you had people who were in the synagogue or later in the temple when it was built, and they would say, thus says the Lord God, and they would speak all this, and it would basically be a lie. The kings would have prophets surrounding him as part of his wise counsel. And in order to survive as one of those wise counselors, you learn to tell the king what he wanted to hear, not what God would say. And in the Old Testament, you can read about that, where the prophet of God would speak about war and famine and destruction and all this. And the prophets that were serving the king, they were going, he's an idiot. I think he's, you know, better check what he's smoking. You know, in our day, it was a battle of perception and truth and influence. But that sounds like it was a battle on the human level. What it was really about was conflict between the heart and the mind of man and the truth of God. For all the lying using God's name, for all the deceiving, for whatever motive, even to save their neck, it was an offense against God. And it hasn't changed today. And we hear many things spoken throughout the world right now in the name of God, in the name of Jesus. I'm old enough and young enough, I remember the 60s. And I remember how, you know, it was all about love. But they would quote scripture using wherever the word love was, but it wasn't the same kind of love that God was talking about. It was a promiscuous love. It was a physical love. It was a love outside of marriage. It was a love of self. But it wasn't God's kind of love. And that language was in the Christian church in the 1960s. And it was a word that deviated, that is, it sidetracked away from the word of God. And so in the days of Moses, and for us today, this text helps us discern, how do we know the difference of what someone is speaking? And so we begin to take a look, and it reminds us. Number one, we have to really be sure that the words that we're hearing are the words that come from God. And just thinking about how God is true and God does not lie, we recognize that it cannot contradict. It cannot go against what he's already given. For you and I, it's a marvelous gift. We have the Bible. We have it in print. We have it in bound form. We have it in electronic form. We have it in internet form. You can check and read the scriptures in many different ways and in all kinds of languages. So whatever the person is saying, you have to ask, does it line up with scriptures? The other thing that commonly happened following Moses was they would take what God said and then they would twist it. They would tweak it. They would change it in some aspect, some way, some shape, some form. Do you think any of that's happening today? I think so. But how do you know? The Bible, it says about itself, test everything according to the Spirit. Now, the Spirit is not a small S. And that's significant. The small letter S is about us. The big letter S is about God. Our mistake is often that we test everything by what I think, I see, and I feel. Okay? And when we do that, we can be so far off from the real truth. If you've ever had too much alcohol, and I don't want you to confess and raise your hand right now, okay? And you had so much that you had that mental, visual, and physical feeling that the room was spinning, okay? And you had a sober person in the room, you know, is the room spinning? What are they going to tell you? No, it's not, right? But you would have sworn the building was spinning. That's our sinful nature in regards to God's truth. This is what we do. The God I believe in wouldn't say this. That's what we do. See, we're going with what we think, what we see, and what we feel. The God I believe in wouldn't say this. The God I believe in wouldn't speak that way. This must have been changed, or I don't think that's what it means. And we would interpose, that is, interleave within God's word, our human understanding. There are some real challenges in Scripture that are beyond us. Nobody knows God's word so perfect that they know it all. No pastor, no professor, no teacher, no one knows God's word so that they know it all. They have all the answers because there are still some mysteries, some things we cannot answer. We simply know by faith this is the way it is. This is the way it was in the historical narrative. This is what is yet to come. But nobody knows it all. One of the facets that we see today, and it's been in within my lifetime, but it's not new, is about the predictions about the end of the world, right? You know, at the year 2000, do you remember all the chaos and all the fear, right? People were saying, it's coming, kiss your life goodbye, or something similar to that. Think about it. Did it happen? No. There was one person in actual history that prophesied. It was a psychic, attended a Christian congregation, had a professional job, a career, but was very public and actually, I'm going to say guessed right, because predicted that there would be an assassination of the president, and it was JFK. But that same person was saying that the end of the world was going to come in the 80s. Did it happen? We missed it? Some very famous people on TV, and I think with well-meaning hearts, have fallen into the same trap, giving predictions, and they didn't happen. And then they have to find ways to explain it away. And I think the same thing is happening regarding sin and defining sin. Our Christian church today is changing God's word so that living together as long as you love each other is now okay. Cussing is just a form of language expressing yourself, okay? And you know the list. When we as believers start to say, I agree with that, what we're doing is we're saying, I'm going to follow the prophets who are lying. I'm going to follow the humans that have changed or deviated or left God's word behind. I'm going to go with something else. And the only way we know where to stay and what to believe and what to belong to and what to hold on to and what to affirm is to be in the Word. And with all the Bibles in print and with all of its electric form and internet and everything else, we have become the most biblically illiterate nation in that sense. A simple trial. Name all the books of the Bible in order. We have become lazy. In the Lutheran church, I'll hear, well, I learned those in confirmation, and that was long. I've slept since then. You know. What does the Bible say to that? Do you actually know there's a biblical answer? You're to be in the Word when you get up, and when you eat, and when you sit down, and when you go to bed at night, there is to be that Word of God. So when you have slept, the next day you get up, you're back in the same Word, and there it is. He brings to remembrance all that he has taught us. But sometimes I think we leave it to testing God, that when we were confirmed at about the age of 14, you know, for some of us that had confirmation for 3 years because we were stubborn, you know, it was maybe 15 or so. But do you understand? We've acted like we're more mature and we're better than that. And the answer is we're not. But because we think we are, we fall into the traps of starting to hold on to science instead of God's word, of starting to believe in rabbit's feet and the astrology and my horoscope and all of that instead of God's word, to talk about good luck instead of may the Lord be with you. We've changed because we've been listening to the world and we've decreased our listening to God. And on Sunday morning, unlike in the days of Luther, where a service could be 2 hours or 2.5 hours, if you're here longer than an hour, that's too much. We've compartmentalized God's word and our availability to it. And the consequences is the world that you're watching now. And Moses warns us of that a long time ago, because the world faced it then, and the world hasn't changed. It still has our human sinful nature. It still has people wanting their own way. It still has people looking for power and influence. And it still has people wanting others to be their victim. Nothing's changed. But I want to go to the flip side. Nothing's changed with God either. His word is still true. Christ is our salvation. The cross paid for our sins, and his resurrection assures us of life. The Holy Spirit has made you his dwelling place, and the word of his truth, the truth of his word, I should say, the truth of his word will remain forever. There is no discovery that will change the truth of God's word. If we find we're doing Noah in our adult Bible class on Sunday morning, that's a little commercial in case you didn't catch it. But if they found the ark, would all of a sudden you say, I believe? Or do you believe the flood happened because it says so in the Bible? You see, God's word is true no matter what. Whether they have the right tomb identified for Jesus that it once held the body, or whether you actually have a piece of the wooden cross that he was crucified on, his word is still true, regardless. So how do we fight the fear, the doubt, the confusion, the sense of being overwhelmed, I don't know what to think anymore? It is in Christ, the one who became the word in the flesh. The word is incarnate, the word made flesh. And as in the Gospel of John, when it says, we have beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of truth and grace, that's where we find our hope and our confidence and the power to make it through day by day. It's not in what I think and what I see and what I feel. It's in his word. It's in his word, I hope. For when I feel alone, I'm not really. God is with me. And when I'm afraid because I see powers or forces that are greater than me, there's nothing greater than God. And when life seems overwhelming, there is nothing beyond God's capability. You see, all of those truths are outside of me. It's in His Word that is given to me and to you. Have you ever felt overwhelmed? Have you ever wondered what was next? Have you ever been afraid? It is the Word of God that gives us comfort, strength, hope, and direction. It is the Word of God that gives us peace and assurance. It is the Word of God that proclaims the forgiveness of your sins, which is very real. It's the Word of God that tells us that Christ is present in the sacrament. It is the Word of God that tells us about baptism, about the water and the Word, and how God creates faith. It's in the Word. And Moses said, listen to him. The him, the personal pronoun, male, singular, is Christ. It didn't change. Listen to God in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it didn't change when Christ was present. Listen to him as one who had authority. And it doesn't change in our day, for the one who has ascended is still speaking through his Word. Listen to him. And may God grant you that peace that surpasses all human understanding as he keeps your heart and your mind alive in faith. Amen.